with the mighty host I stand, just over in the glory land.
Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everybody. How's everybody doing? God is good. He is. And we are blessed and thankful that he's blessed us to be here this morning. If you are visiting with us, you are honored guests. And we certainly thank you for blessing us with your presence. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television this morning, we hope and pray that we can say something to you this morning through the word of God that will touch your heart or prick your heart. If you have a question or you need to speak with someone, please call the number on your screen and we will be more than happy to minister to you this morning. It's just good to be with the saints this morning after we've been with the devils all this week. Amen, amen. I love coming to worship service, to be with family, to be with friends, to be with those who are like-minded as we try to run this Christian race. You still in the race this morning? You're in the race this morning. You're in the right place this morning. I want you to meet with me, if you will. My studies the past couple of months have been reading and have been involved in the great stories in the Bible. There are some wonderful, wonderful, true stories that occurred. God left us record of these stories to help us as we travel through life. And even today, even yesterday, whatever we did yesterday is history. But it's our story, and it comes a part of our life. And when you read these, a lot of times we read the stories in the Bible, and we read them like they're fairy tales. But they're left here for our learning. I've entitled the lesson this morning, Priceless Lessons from the Past. Priceless Lessons from the Past. Won't you meet with me in the book of 2 Kings? I'm diving in so I can have enough time to try to get to an end in this lesson this morning. Everybody's all right? All right, wake up then. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. Now it came about in the third year of Hosea, the son of Eli, king of Israel. Hosea would be the king of Israel, one of the 19 kings that are listed of the kings of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, became king. So you have Hosea, who's the king of Israel, Hezekiah, who is the king of Judah. And you have to know a little history to kind of make sense of this. Genesis chapter 12, God made a promise to Abraham and his seed. Says, through you, Abraham, all the nations, actually all the world will be blessed. And he blesses Abraham with a son, Isaac. And Isaac has Jacob, and Jacob has 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel. And God makes this wonderful promise, and you see it carrying out. You know, God keeps his promises. And sometimes we look at the Bible in segments and we don't see God working. You need to also see the big picture. And then he anoints King Saul as the first king of Israel. King Saul. King Saul serves for 40 years and he did all right for a little while and the devil got in him. And David is anointed as king. And King David is anointed king he's king for 40 years. David lived a good life. David was a good king, but David had some faults. And he fell away from God. And but he stayed king for 40 years. And he had a son, and his son became king, King Solomon. I'm being very brief with this. King Solomon, and Solomon became king. And Solomon was king for 40 years. And those of you that read your Bible, you know it's through the seed of David that Jesus came through his line. God made a promise to David because David was a man after his own heart. But he wasn't perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart. And when he turned the reins over to Solomon, he warned Solomon, keep all the commandments of God. And our families will be blessed. And Solomon was a good king. He was a good king, and he was rich, and he asked for wisdom from the Lord, and God gave him wisdom. But boy, he got caught up in himself. And he married so many women, he didn't know what to do. And those women turned his eyes. He turned his eyes away from God. You know, brothers, women will get you in trouble. Sisters, men will get you in trouble. Amen. Yeah, we just get each other in trouble, don't we? Lord have mercy. But that's a whole nother lesson. But Solomon, God, listen, the king, the united, and they were kings over the united Israel, all the tribes, all 12. But because Solomon fell away, because Solomon worshiped, he allowed his wives to. He built idols, and God, one of God's commandments is you should love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind. You should have no other gods before me. One of the main commandments, and Solomon broke that command. He started trying to please his wives and made idols to many of his wives. And we see that God rents the kingdom. God divides the kingdom of Israel. He divides it in 10 tribes or go to the northern kingdom and two tribes to the southern kingdom and the kingdom is divided. The tribes of Israel are divided. And so Hezekiah would be to show the map up here if you will. I just want to give them a little picture of this before we go into this study. To pull up the map on that slide if you got it there. You have the tribe, the 10 northern tribes. And then you have the two tribes. It would be the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. And Hezekiah would be one of the kings of the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Judah. And here we get to this passage. And Hezekiah would be one of 20 kings of Judah. Israel would have, I believe, 19 kings. And let's read this text, if you stay with me. Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old. That's a good age. He was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. And 25, I tell you what, that's a good age. Because, see, 25, you're not too young. You're not too old. See, sometimes you can be so young and inexperienced that you just can't handle things. You don't have enough experience. But then sometimes you can be so old, even what you know, you can't do. Amen, somebody. Even what you want to do, you can't do. And then, you know, you get so old, some folk don't take you, they just stop listening to you for whatever reason. They think you're too old. But Hezekiah, I mentioned that because if you are between 20 and 30, would you just raise your hand for me real quick? Raise your hand. 20 and 30. Ooh, cherish those years. Amen. Boy, that's some good years. Cherish those years. Boy, those ought to be your most productive years. I just wanted to make that point. Hezekiah is 25. Notice this, though. Notice this. He served 29 years. Verse 3, very important. He did right in the sight of the Lord. He did right. It doesn't elaborate. It's going to elaborate down here in the text a little bit. But the scripture says he did right. See, God loves righteousness. And you know what? We need to love righteousness as we live our lives. We need to try to do right every day. Do right by ourselves. Do right by our neighbors. And certainly do right by God. Putting God first. Because if you do right by God, you're going to do right by your neighbor. And everybody else. And you know, I'm reminded of the psalmist in Psalms 37:25. You know David, he said, I've been young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous. See, it's always right to do what's right. And you know, we could just speak on what's right all day long, but some folk act like they don't know what right is. You know what right is. Even people who don't read the Bible know what right is. God has put it in our core. When you take something that's not yours, it's not yours, and you take it, you know it's wrong. That's why you sneak and do it. Amen, somebody. Yeah. And Hezekiah did what was right. We'll elaborate on that in just a second. According to all that his father David had done, he removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah. The Asherah would be the mother goddess. And Hezekiah is a young man, but he knew what God wanted. He knew the way God wanted it. And when he got to be king, out of the 20 kings, and you read down the kings of Judah, really only two of them pleased God. And I was thinking about that. I said, you know, when God reads my name, when he looks if he records my lineage, and he records, I'm using mine because I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But when he records your lineage and he goes down, he calls the roll in your family, and he calls Michael and Vincent and Anthony and Gary and calls all of our names. Can God say when he get to our name, he did what was right in the sight of God? What is he going to say about it? I just thought about that. I said, Lord, you know, well, if God, what is God saying about me right now? Do I stand for what's right, or do I just go along to get along? Or I'm not just trying to please folk, or I'm conning folk, or I'm cheating folk, or I'm mystery, or I'm just I'm acting like I'm trying to fool people and act like I'm good and I'm really not. Because really, God knows us. God knew, and he records this. I love it. And he lists some of the deeds. Now, you got to know, see, it says he removed the high places and broke down these were idols. God defied these idols that they brought up. I tried to go in your passage to 1 Kings chapter 14, so we can understand what he's talking about. Chapter 14, verse 23. 1 Kings 14, 23. It says this. It says, for they also built for themselves high places. This is some of the kings and the people that displeased God. And the children of Israel, many of them were caught right up in it. He says, they built for themselves high places and sacred pillars and Asherim on every hill and beneath every luxuriant tree. Show a picture. I think I tried to put a picture of see, these are, they, an Asherah was a pole. It was a pole, and it was dedicated to these gods. And the children of Israel, they started planting these things all over the place. You walking down the road, and they got a god to Asherah, the mother goddess. And God, the first commandment, God told him, you love God with all your heart and all your soul. You have no other god before. They got them all over the place. They ordained by the king, many of the kings led in doing it. And the people didn't have enough sense. They just fell right in line. What they see an Asherah and bow down to this pole. But Hezekiah, when he became king as a young man, he knew the law. He knew his ancestors. He knew what God taught them. And when he became king, he immediately started tearing down this stuff. Amen. I tell you, one spiritual person. And see, you listen. Wait, Brother, I'm not a king. One strong, convicted Christian in a home makes all the difference in the world. Yeah. You know, you. Everybody eating at the family reunion. Everybody eating in the restaurant. Everybody eating at the table and saying, you know what? So it just takes one person. Hey, you know what? Let's stop and pray before we. And you know, some people just totally forget, don't they? Some people don't even care. But one person can make all the difference in the world. Don't ever think that you can't make a difference. Hezekiah was young. Yes, he was king. Yeah, and all many kings were even before him. Hezekiah said he tore them down, and God saw it, and God was pleased with that. Thank you, Hezekiah, for your courage. Thank you, brothers in the church who have the courage to stand for what's right. Thank you, sisters, for leading your families being righteous in your family. God notices it. He sees it all. Yeah. Says he broke into pieces. He says he also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the sons of Israel burned. And you know, God and Moses made the serpent because God told him to make a serpent. And he told him to make a serpent, hold it up so folks that got bitten wouldn't die. Now, they took the serpent and he said the Israelites, they corrupted what God told them to do. Started burning incense on the serpent, worshiping the serpent. That's not what God told them to do. And Hezekiah did away with that. He did this in verse 5. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. Hezekiah trusted. Do we trust God? Yeah. Do we believe that God is good for his word? Do you believe there's a reward for the saints? Yeah, you know, I understand what the Bible says, don't grow weary in well-doing. Because life will weary you, won't it? Sisters, if you're married to, and don't move, don't say nothing, don't amen. If you're married to a immature, to a non-spiritual, if you're married to what you feel like now is a burden, you stay faithful. Stay faithful to God. Brother, why'd you say that? It need to be said. Brothers, if you're married to one of those kind of wives. And I'm not talking about, I'm just, if you're married to, you see, you know, life can do so much to you. You know, stay faithful to God. See, that's your solos. And you know, Hezekiah living in a world, they live in a world of idols, and, you know, and sometimes it can just feel like you by yourself. And when we say stay faithful to God, now we're not talking about just you know, pray and do your own thing. We're talking about you. See, you got, if you're married to somebody, you need to treat them righteously. Amen? You didn't want to hear that one, did you? No, don't stick him. Don't jab him. Don't become bitter to your wife. Don't be mean. Love her. Pray for, help her as much as you can. Yeah. It says Hezekiah trusted, and I, you know, I'm, you know, I read some self help books sometimes, but you know what? It's a decision that we make. You either trust God, or you trust yourself, or you trusting in somebody else or some other thing other than God. And when you do that, you're gonna find yourself very disappointed. And Hezekiah chose to trust God. The scripture says about him, it says, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah. He distinguished himself, not among those who were before him, for he clung to the Lord. Says he did not depart from following him, but kept. That's what, when the Bible says he was right in his eyesight, in the sight of the Lord, this is what it means. He kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. So he knew the word and he kept the word. But look, listen, but this is a life story. I wish I know I won't have time to finish it all, but this is a life story. This is Hezekiah. He's 25 years old. But listen, just a short time later, listen to this. Listen to this. In 2 Kings chapter 18, drop down to verse 13. Now in the 14th year of the king Hezekiah, Sennacherib, who was the king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. Now you have to know a little bit of history, is that Assyria had seized all the tribes of Israel, not the king. You know, you had the king of Israel, then you had the king of Judah, and Assyria had seized most of the tribes of Israel at this time. Hezekiah, in his young years, when he first started, he was on fire for the Lord. And he took a whole lot of action, and a lot of people took notice. People were serving God, God trusted God. And you know what? If you read in verse number 7 of 2 Kings 18, it says God was with him, and wherever he went, he prospered him. Everything God made good at Hezekiah. But you know, life doesn't stop because you were successful yesterday. You know, we're living in the real world. That's why we, those of us as Christians, you know, you need to be happy when you can be happy. You know, you need to rejoice when it's time to rejoice. Because I tell you what, a sad day is always around the corner. Amen. I'm telling you, you know, some of us, we don't know how to laugh. We don't laugh enough. Yeah, some of us, you know, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, don't, the world hadn't ended because you've been successful today. But you better rejoice when your baby graduates from high school. Amen, somebody. You better rejoice when your child can get to age. The Lord have mercy. They find them a husband. They find them a wife. Your daughter haven't gotten pregnant before she's been trying to live faithful, and she finds a man. And they get mad. You better say praise the Lord, somebody. Yeah. Now don't brag now, and surely don't talk about nobody else now. Don't do that. But you better rejoice because the devil is busy, isn't he? He stays busy. And, but in the 14th year, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah, and he seized them. And Hezekiah heard about it. He knew about it. The predecessor of Sennacherib, Shalmaneser, I believe it is, he was king of Syria, and he tore up the children, the Israel tribes. And so, and Syria had a mighty army. Verse 14, then Hezekiah, king of Judah, said to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I've done wrong. What you done wrong, Hezekiah? He says, withdraw from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will bear. So the king of Assyria required of Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Hezekiah gave all the silver which was found in the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the doorposts which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. Sound like Hezekiah is mighty scared. I tell you what, he had a reason to be. Although he'd been successful, although he trusted in God, although he knew God was on his side, but now this mighty king with this astronomical army was attacking his cities and his fortified cities, and they were coming for Jerusalem where Hezekiah was. And Hezekiah said, I got to do something. I got to be smart. And Hezekiah said, you know what? I'm going to try to get some peace. We need to try to get peace when we can. You know, every battle is not meant to be fought, you know, in a physical way or even in a mean way, when you can negotiate peace, and that's peace on, that's just smart, isn't it? You go in ready to fight and battle somebody when you don't have to fight. And Hezekiah said, I need to get ahead of this one because I don't know if I can handle it. Notice this, just earlier the Bible says he trusted in the Lord. God was on his side. God made everything prosper. Why would he have some reservation? Well, it seems like it's a bigger problem. I know, you know, God brings us through. He brings us through trials. Have God ever brought you through some trials? Yeah. You know. Did you thank God? I wish we could name some of the trials that God has brought you. Some of them are illnesses, some of them are relationships. You know, some of our members in here have been through trials right in the church house with people. But you know, you stay with God. God sees you through it, and God is good. But listen now, listen. But don't get content. See, don't get content till you die. Because right around the corner, it might be a bigger trial. Now, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but you know, it's like, you know, when you're teaching your kids, they so happy-go-lucky and everything. They want everything to go. They want all the food and everything. You know, everything. And you're trying to show. But in my mind, I'm like, ooh, are they ready for what's going to happen to them? You know, I ain't told my wife. Last weeks, I've just been, you know, God is good. But you don't know what's around the corner. Some of us haven't lost our mother. You haven't lost your daddy. You haven't lost a brother or sister. Some of us haven't been to the hospital to sit up weeks and months. Some of them, you know, their families in MD Anderson been with their children for months. And I hope my children are prepared for some of the struggles they're going to go through. I didn't say that they might go through. No, what are you saying, brother? I hope we're not so complacent while we're here that we think that if something happens to us, we turn away from God. We got to stay with God even when we're going through our biggest trials. Somebody need to hear that. Yeah, and Hezekiah, he was a little trouble, and he started trying to make amends. And with Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and he was something else. I'm telling you, he was a ruthless king, and his reputation preceded him, and but you know, God has a way. God, let me read what he did, and I want to make a point. Drop down to verse 17, 2 Kings 18, 17. Then the king of Assyria sent Tardan and Rapsaris and Rapshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a large army to Jerusalem. Now, this is after Hezekiah had sent this so-called peace offering to the king. So they went up and came to Jerusalem, and when they went up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is on the highway of the fuller's field. When they called to the king, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to them. So Hezekiah didn't come out, but he sent his men out, which was normal procedure. Then Rapshakeh said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus said the great king." So Sennacherib sent his men. Hezekiah sends his men. This is the message they send to him. "Thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what is this confidence that you have? You say, but they're only empty words, that I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom do you rely that you have rebelled against me?" In other words, the king of Assyria heard about Hezekiah's success. He heard about what Hezekiah had been doing. But Hezekiah hadn't faced me, the king said. You faced them, but you haven't faced me. You haven't faced my mighty one. He said, "Now, how is it that you have all of this confidence?" He sends this message to Hezekiah. Listen to what else he says. "Now on whom do you rely that you've rebelled against me? Now behold, you rely on the staff of this crushed reed, even on Egypt, on which if any man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh king of Egypt to all you who you rely on? But I say to you, but if you say to me, 'We trust in the Lord God,' is it not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah have taken?" He says simply to Hezekiah, see, he's like, "You got all of this confidence. Are you relying on Egypt to help you? Egypt will be as a reed, a staff reed, as this reed." He said, "Egypt will not be able to help you in your real time of need." He says, then he says this. He says, we trust in the Lord God. It is not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem.' Now, therefore, come, make a bargain with my master." He says, "Listen, this is what you need to do. You need to bargain with my master, King Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you're able to on your part set riders on them. How then can you repulse one official of the least of my master's servants and rely on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Have I now come up without the Lord's approval against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.'" Sennacherib started telling them, look, it's the Lord who sent me to destroy you. He says, oh, you think you got it going on? He said, the Lord told me to come up here and destroy you. And that's one of the devil's tools that he uses to discourage us. Because some people will say, I came in the name of the Lord, and they are nothing but the devil. Amen, somebody. And so he's sending this message to Hezekiah, who has the prophet Isaiah on his side, who's the word of God is being read to him. And he's turning and saying, listen, you need to just give in, give up, because if you don't, you are in big trouble. Listen to what else he says. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna and Joah said to Rabshakeh, speak now to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it, and do not speak to us in Judean or Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. You see, they came to in public to give this message to Hezekiah and his people. And you notice this, they stayed in fortified cities, had walls, so they see the people coming, they see the army, the speakers are speaking, Hezekiah's people, some of them are sitting on the wall, and Hezekiah's spokesman said, listen, don't talk to us in Hebrew. Speak to us in Arabic, because they didn't want the people to hear what was being said. They were afraid that if the people heard what they said, that it would scare the people. And he said, please don't speak in Hebrew. Speak in Aramaic. Speak in Aramaic so the people won't hear it. Listen to what the Bible says. But Rabshakeh said to them, has my master sent me only to your master to speak these words and not to the men who sitting on the wall, doomed to eat their own dung and drink their own urine with you? He said, listen, my master didn't just send me to talk to you. I'm speaking to all. And he made sure. He said, I see those people on the wall. He said, my master sent me to tell all of you that you are fixing to be destroyed if you don't give in to the king of Assyria. You will be destroyed. Not only will you be destroyed, he started using some vile language and cursing and bad language. And he says, you're going to eat your own dung. Do you know what dung is? Without me saying it, in some words that we use sometimes. He said, you're going to be drinking, and you're going to be drinking your own urine. Ugh, that's nasty. And the people are listening, as quiet as a mouse, and they're listening. Then they went on. Then Rabshakeh stood, cried with a loud voice. After now, he know he has the attention of everybody in the city on the wall, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Now, we've been through some trials, but we haven't been through this kind of trial. Thus said the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you. For he will not be able to deliver you from my hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying the Lord will surely deliver us. And this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. For thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me and eat each of his vine and each of his fig tree and drink each of the waters of his own cistern until I come and take you away to a land with like your own land, a land of grain, new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olives and trees and honeys that you may live and not die. He started really sugarcoating it. Listen, you're going to come stay with us and we're going to take care of you. But he is lying. As many evil men do, they are very good at lying. He goes on and says, do not listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of the gods, small G-O-D, gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Syria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena and Ivah? Have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of the land have delivered their land from my hand? And the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand. Just look around. See what we've already done. We've already defeated the idols and torn down the asterisks and torn down other gods. He said, we've already done, and you know we did that. You think God is going to deliver you? Boy, that's a strong argument, isn't it? What would you have been done if you'd been sitting on that wall? Would you jumped off that wall and says, I'll go with you? That's a tough one, isn't it? Listen, I love this. Listen to verse 36. But the people were silent. Answered not a word. For the king's commandment was, do not answer him. Hezekiah's commandment to his people. Knew they were coming. When they come, whatever they say, see the natural order when a king is going warring with another country. They send a messenger with the charge. The charge is read. The truce is read. Depending on how, if you accept the truce or if you deny the truce, whether or not war will take place. They knew the procedure. Hezekiah knew what was going to happen. And he tells them to tell the people when they come, whatever they say, don't say a word. You know what? Sometimes our best defense when we balance Satan's battles is just to be quiet. Don't say anything. Let a fool talk like a fool. Amen, somebody. Brother, are you calling somebody a fool? No, I'm not. But some people talk a good game, and it sounds good. Sometimes the best thing you can do when somebody is pressing you on your job is to not get caught up in back and forth with them folk. Because, yeah, see, people will use your own words to trip you up. You know they will. And I love it that Hezekiah had that kind of influence that they listened to Hezekiah, and they didn't answer a word. Notice, they got some history. Do we have some history with God? They had some history with God and saw how God had worked. Then Elikam, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Sheba, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of Rabshakeh. You know, what they said affected the people. What they said affected the spokesman. They heard the words. It penetrated their heart. They told Hezekiah everything that was said. Listen to 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. Stay with me now. I'm about to finish. And when King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes. Lord have mercy. Lord Jesus. It's tearing your clothes. It's a sign of weakness. It's a sign of despair. But see, when you do it before God, you know, when we at our weakest is when God is at his strongest. And you know, some of us right now, we need to tear our clothes. What do you mean, Brother Gary? See, you've been doing it your way. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to work it out. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep doing it. Is it working? How's it working out for you? Are you making any headway yet? Don't you understand sometimes when God tries to humble us, our attitude, we too high-minded. How we even say things, how we talk to people. When you're humble, God can exalt you. Hezekiah is definitely at this point in his life, in this situation that he's going through. He covered himself with sackcloth. But listen to what the scripture says, the latter part of that scripture. And he entered the house of the Lord. You do know this is the house of God we're in right now. And listen, spiritually for sure, we could worship under a tree. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there with us. So we could worship without this building. But this building is dedicated as the house of God. Well, Christians mean. That's why we need to be in awe when we come into the house of the Lord. Amen? Yeah, yeah. You say, certain things you just don't do in the house of the Lord. Certain things you do in the house of the Lord. Amen? Yeah, with Brother Vernon leading those songs this morning, Mercy Lord. Lord, all of those songs. Were you singing when? You know we singing to the Lord. Amen? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we sing. Make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Just to think that you realize that God is our audience. I mean, he's watching. We singing to God. And I was singing it. You know, sometimes when I'm singing, you know, I sing all kind of keys. Just I mean. But you know, when we singing, we need to realize, I don't sing that good. So what? He didn't say, if you don't sing that good, don't sing. We're in the house of the Lord. Hezekiah tore his clothes. You know what? Your kids ever come to you just as pitiful looking? You know, they need something. They want something, and they come to you just as pitiful looking, and you know, when you see them like that, you almost like, okay, what you need, baby? I'm ready. What you want? Just ask daddy. One of my grandbabies came to me last night. Lord, they know how to get me. Came to me last night. Hey, big daddy. It was late. Like, what you doing up? Hey, daddy. And I had a bag of almonds on the side of my bed. It was sitting on the thing. And she see everything in the room. You know which one I'm talking about. She the candy monster and the cookie monster. But she said, what's that, big daddy? And I said, that's my almonds. She said, oh, that's almonds. And I say, you want some? Yes. Listen. God know when we need some. Hezekiah tore his clothes. He goes to the house. You're in the right place this morning. Lord, I'm ready. Is that clock right? He goes to the house of the Lord. You see, listen. Some of us had a tough time getting here this morning. Some of us are just glad to be in the house of the Lord. That's strength. That's power in the house of the Lord. Brother Carter, Brother Edmund Carter is here this morning. Our intern is here this morning who had a stroke a few weeks ago. I bet he glad he in the house of the Lord this morning. You ought to be glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning. Hezekiah went to the right place when he was facing a tragedy. Brother Raymond Hooks, who lost his dad this past week. Brother Raymond Hooks Jr. He's in the house of the Lord this morning. Well, I lose my mom, my dad. I need to be to myself. I understand people handle different things different ways. But when you're going through something bigger than you, you need somebody bigger than you. And I just don't have nobody else I can recommend. You realize Sister KB can do a whole lot of things. I got a good wife, and she can handle a whole lot of things. But you know some things that Sister KB never knows is going on in my life. Because I don't want to burden her with this burden that I can't bear by myself. And I just, you know what, I bypass. I'm not saying I don't tell my wife everything, but I don't tell her everything. But I'm not saying that I don't confide in my wife, I don't love her, I don't talk to her. But sometimes, some things I bypass Sister KB and go straight. I can't finish this. But you got to know that David, that Hezekiah, he went to the house of the Lord, and he sought some. He went to the prophet of the God. He said, Isaiah, I need you to talk to God for me about this one. I need you to talk to God. And Isaiah said, now notice this, he'd already been doing what was right, so God is on his side. You know, even when the devil is battling against us and the burden is leaning on us, if we're doing what's right in the sight of God, know that God is with us. And he's not going to forsake you. Now, he's not saying that he's not going to just lift the burden right off of your shoulders. But he went to the house of God. Isaiah, the men of God, his messengers went to him and told him what was happening. Isaiah says, listen, Hezekiah, tell Hezekiah, the king Sennacherib says he will never enter this city. He's not coming to this city. He says, you know what? God going to send a rumor in his camp, going to stir up the people, and he will never, none of his men will come inside of Jerusalem. Now, this is your homework to read the rest of 2 Kings chapter 19 and see that. Now, notice this. That was, Sennacherib sent another messenger to King Hezekiah. After his boys, he sent him another man. It was nastier than the first one. And it should have scared him even more. But Hezekiah stood strong because he'd heard from God. And he says, God is on my side. And one night, in the scripture would say, in the same day, one night, they were sleeping and woke up and 185,000 of the Assyrian men were dead and never got up. And you know what the king did. He ran for his life. But God also took his life. God can fight a battle. Amen. But again, I just can't see it. You don't have to see it. Just believe it. Amen. Are we all on the same team? Every now and then I read the Bible. That's what kind of what I've been doing the last couple of months is reading great Bible stories. To get more confidence, to get more faith, to believe that we're on the right track. We're serving the God of the universe, the God of the world that we all need to obey. And if we just don't grow weary, why you say we're having our open house and our homecoming, our family and friends day coming up. And we try to do that every Lord's Day to encourage people. We have a lot of, and God is blessing. Our church, our congregation is growing. You look in our 8 o'clock service now. Our service is growing. Our 11:15 service is growing. We're growing in number. But, you know, we still have a lot of our members who are just wayward. When I say wayward, what do you mean? They're in Houston, and some of them just don't even go anywhere. Listen, not just coming on Sundays in fellowship, all the fellowships and things that we have in people's own. And you know what? You know what's happened? Life just beat them down. Just like it's done us. Just like some of us, we were gone a little while and now we back. Praise the Lord. But you got to know that the crown is given to those who endure to the end, who are faithful until we die. And it's worth it. We have too many examples that have gone on before us that go through these trials, these tough times, but they stay with God and God answers their prayers and God delivers them through whatever they are going through. And God can do it. We need to stay with the Lord. If you're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. You come by faith. Yeah, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is. Lord, have mercy. He's a reward of those who diligently seek him. If you're here and you need to repent of your sins, you need to confess Christ, you need to be baptized in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, God adds you to his family. And you got the best daddy that you could ever have. And you're in the best family. I mean, it's talking to people, you know, relationships, Lord, the people let you down. And you know, I mean, it's so dysfunctional, but you need to get in God's family. Look to Jesus, our perfect example. And who's our mediator? If you're here and you need prayer in your life, we'll pray for you, pray with you. Prayers of the righteous avail it much. Sometimes it's just a prayer. Days like this, we come to the house of God. I'm trying to make it to next year. Just try to make it to tomorrow. How about that? Yeah, you're looking too far ahead. You make it through today. And you'll be surprised how God can re-energize you, get you out of the deep, dark depressions that you're in. God is still on the throne, and he stays on the throne, even in defiance of some of the attacks and threats of Satan and evil ones. Somebody come to Jesus as we stand and sing.
Show me the way.